Tonight. I so appreciated the services this weekend. I run into Brother Lou at the hospital one day this week, and he was talking about the fact those services would have been great for anybody. I don't care what you believe. If you don't believe anything, you could take what you heard this weekend and apply it to your life. There's more peace. There's more joy. I'm just thankful then we can take what we know and put it together. We're blessed, very, very blessed people. We've got some needs tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Terry, if he don't mind, to come and lead us in prayer for these. Please remember Brother Orville's brother Richard in prayer. He's lost 4 pints of blood. Doctors don't know what's causing it. Pray for Brother Dan Dyer, who's experiencing dizziness, not feeling well. Also, the Moyer family in Ohio, still custody battles there. They're asking for prayer. Like for the church to pray for me. This is from Sister Nadine Finch. She's having knee replacement surgery on Friday. So let's pray for her and for her recovery. Lord, just will be with her through that. Please pray for Sherry. She pulled a muscle in her back and is experiencing a lot of pain. That's from Brother Jackie Tipton. So let's remember Sister Sherry tonight. Please remember Sister Marcy's aunt, Sherry. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer, having a procedure on Friday. So let's remember that, sister. Thank you for praying for our neighbor who had a leak in his brain lining. The leak has stopped. That's from Brother Matt Carter. Thank the Lord for that. Sister Lona Hara would like for us to remember her nephew Tim in prayer for his salvation and his healing. He had a double lung transplant this morning, so quite the procedure there. So let's just pray the Lord will look after him. Sister Martha Ann says, I want to praise my Lord Jesus for a lovely visit with my son, daughter-in-law, and granddaughter, especially for safe travels going through really bad weather. So they want to thank the Lord for that tonight. Let's just stand. Brother Terry comes and takes these needs to the Lord.
Join our faith together as we look to Him. I believe that whatsoever things you have need of, when you pray, believe, don't doubt, and you can have it. You pray with these with me as we pray, and want to put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000, we'll see some results. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, as I always say, which is not just a cliche, but truly it's a revelation from my heart, we get to go to church another time. What a privilege it is, Lord, and how that in this evil day, how that deception and how that evil is just magnified exponentially, quickly. But Lord, the bride is getting ready and prepared, I believe also, quickly. And the days perhaps are numbered, or how many days we got left, weeks, months, whatever it may be. But dear Lord God, we want to redeem the time, as it were, and make full use of our time. We're thankful we can be here and be in your presence and hear the word of God and be under a ministry that preaches the truth. And Lord, the wonderful things we've heard from ever since I've been down here, Lord, just tremendous, tremendous blessings. We're just, as Brother Joel said, we are blessed people. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. As we're singing the song, I thought about there's a tremendous verse in there. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, there's never been a time that the prize and the goal and the city and the wedding supper and heaven and all that goes with it is more clear than we've ever in any generation, Lord. This has been the age of the mighty God unveiled. We're truly thankful for what you have given to us. Thank you that you sent us a prophet, a messenger to clear the way for us, tie up the loose ends, get us prepared. Each one of these requests, Lord, they're all needy and some of them very serious. I pray, dear God, you'd undertake in behalf of each one. Somebody's going to have faith for each one. We're going to hear reports because you said ask, believe, don't doubt. You can have whatsoever things you desire. So we ask tonight, Lord, we pray for these needs and ask that you'd undertake for each one of them. Lord, and we just expect testimonies. May you grant it, Lord. Bless the service and on our pastor to speak, our hearts to hear. And truly, Lord, we'll say when we leave the building, it's been good to be in your presence. Grant these things, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You know, good teaching is only as good as the student. And I think it's time to make what we learned about Sunday morning applicable tonight. There's serotonin circulating in our bodies. There's dopamine. All these receptors are there. It's time to be stimulated. Brother West can be stimulated. Somebody sitting right beside of him can totally miss it. It's up to you to enter in tonight. Those things happen personally. That's on the inside of you. So let's make sure that nothing passes us tonight. I think we all could use a boost of serotonin, some dopamine, all these things that God put within us. And just follow his laws and make it happen in our body. Let's make it happen tonight. I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. He can meet your need anytime, any place, anywhere. We got plenty to sing about. Let's sing this tonight. Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Lift the offering for us. Let's sing Wasn't That Love. You can be seated tonight. Let's sing that Wasn't That Love. F.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit Mary. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Pain and loneliness.
Ryan Kennedy to come. Let's sing that Be Multiplied together. F. Be Multiplied as Brother Ryan comes, gets ready to sing. Let's just keep worshiping Him tonight.
Oh, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to Your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujah be multiplied. Sing it again. God of mercy.
Brother Ryan tonight.
When daylight breaks with morning dew, you're so good to me. When evening comes, the day is through. You're so good to me. Your love is wild, Your promise true, that you're so good to me. Your heart is kind, and all You do, what You are, You're so good to me. It's how perfect are Your ways, and how endless is Your grace. Forever, yes, I will sing of Your praise. You're so good to me. Blessings come, but life brings pain. You're so good to me. Shadows fall and seasons change. You're so good to me. And how perfect are Your ways. It's how endless is Your grace. Forever, yes, I will sing of Your praise. You're so good to me. On heaven's shore, You call my name. You're so good to me. Thousand times the angels say, You're so good to me. And how perfect are Your ways. How endless is Your grace. Forever, yes, I will sing of Your praise. You're so good to me. You're so good.
Appreciate that song tonight. It's very good. Let's stand tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Just a quick announcement. The Fall Festival meeting will be in the Fellowship Hall after service tonight. That's for everyone that's helping with that tonight. So just remember that, Fellowship Hall right after the service. Let's sing I'm Amazed in F. Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring the word to us tonight. Are you looking forward to what he has for us tonight? Let's just sing this together as he comes.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care.
Together. Heavenly Father, how much we want you to know that we're so appreciative tonight. The grace of God that has appeared to us. Lord God, we desire that you would make more of the depth of your love. Make it more real to our hearts, I pray, Lord. That we, Lord Jesus, looking into what you've done, Father, to consider the great price, the great thing that you did for us by coming to the earth. But yet, really, that was the shortest span of time that was on your mind. You were here for a little over 33 years, but before the world was ever formed, you started working on this plan. So it's been thousands times thousands times thousands of years in the making. And it gives us confidence, Lord, to know that you will not let your great program fall to the wayside. Though it seems at times that Satan is getting the better of the program of God, but you always come out, and you always will. We thank you, Father. We ask your help tonight as we look into the Word. Father, we know that anyone physically able would be able to open a Bible or open a book and be able to read scriptures and be able to read some quotes and more than likely even pass some comments. But Heavenly Father, we know that it takes you to be able to really bring inspiration and make the Word live. And that's why we're here tonight, Father. Oh, I know this is something that we've done for many, many years, come to church on Wednesday night. But Lord, we don't want it just to be a tradition or something that we do regularly. We want to come with anticipation and great expectation. Just believing for you to speak to us once again. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Father, you see this prayer call, dear God, that I'm going to preach with tonight. You know the need, dear God, behind it. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that you'd move, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Are you happy to be in church?
Amen.
How many's been eating lettuce this week? No wonder there wasn't none at the grocery store. God bless you. I've still been rejoicing over the services this weekend. I'll tell you what, I've heard absolutely life-changing, tremendous comments already from around the globe. I love hearing what God's doing for His people. Praise the Lord. And every one of them felt like it was just for them. That's the way He does it. It's absolutely just for us. And no doubt what you heard, the way you heard it, was just exactly the way you needed to hear it. God bless you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 tonight, verse 17, if you would. Let's look again by the help of the Lord. That arm. Thank you. at the church tonight. I'm glad we're part of it.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now this is why that I don't mind being called this. Now if you go to call me a Laodicean, I'll probably get mad at you. You go to call me a church organization, I don't want nothing to do with that. But when it comes to being called this, I want everything to be identified with that. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, I've been quoting this to you, but I thought I'd read it to you tonight from the Greek lexicon. If you'd like to read it, look at it, number 1577. It's Ecclesia, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. Praise God. Now you realize that the age we're living in, everybody and their brothers are Christian, man, hardly nobody goes to church. Church attendance is falling in every organization that there is. And yet people were claiming more Christianity by numbers than we ever got. There's a problem somewhere. But you see, the ecclesia are a gathering of citizens. So if you're a citizen, you've got to have a citizenship from somewhere. So it's a gathering of citizens. I hope we're gathered tonight, citizens, not citizens of Tennessee and Virginia and North Carolina, but citizens of heaven. A gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. An assembly, in a Christian sense, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. So coffee and donuts don't count. Hot dog roast don't count. Soccer at the pavilion don't count. Volleyball at the pavilion don't count. Church is what counts. Nothing wrong with you gathering together now. I think we ought to do it as the people of God. But don't never get in your mind that you're gathering and fulfilling the Word of God when you gather to play volleyball.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hot dogs is all right. Hamburgers is all right. Fall Fest is all right. But you'll find out Friday night, there's a bunch that shows up that likes our chicken that don't like our preaching. Because you'll see them at the Fall Fest, but you won't see them on Saturday night when we have church. They hear there's free food going, buddy. They'll show up by the droves. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. Who's the builder? Jesus says. Whose church is it? Jesus. It ain't mine. It ain't yours. It ain't Brother Branham's. It belongs to Jesus. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly. Oh my, think of this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages world without end. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Unto Him be glory where? Not in the stars, not in the planets, not in the universe, but in the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages. I love this word that Paul used. Throughout all ages. It is from age to age to age of the unending ages. And then he goes on and uses another Greek word, world without end, which is anion. A-I-N-O-N, anion, which means without termination. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. When there is no more devil, this verse is still being fulfilled. When there is no more trouble, when there is no more sickness, you'll still be fulfilling this verse of the Word of God. Oh, may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All children, do we really comprehend what the church is? Is it just a gathering of people 2 times a week, 3 times a week, and we have a little bit of a routine to where that we start the service at a certain time and the brothers sing for so long and we lift an offering and then we have 2 to 3 specials and then the speaker comes out and he goes 55 to 60 minutes or so. And then we pray a little prayer and keep you for another 10 or 15 minutes after the service, after the preaching service, and let everybody go because we're so occupied in our time. Is that all the church is? Is that all that the word church is about? I say to you, nay. I tell you right now, the church of the living God is one of God's greatest accomplishments and achievements throughout eternity. It is almost unfathomable to the human mind. Let me go ahead and say it. It is unfathomable to the human mind to comprehend the breadth, the height, the length, the depths that lays in the mystery of the church. So much so that angelic beings still ponder to this day the mystery of Christ that has been revealed in the mystical body. And yet we, being partakers of that every day of our life, living in that blessed place by which we live by the engrafted word in our soul, and the angels of God peering, stooping, as it was, desiring to even understand to this very hour the token life that you have on the inside of you. To them, it is a theater that is being acted out, a part of the Father's great divine drama, that they slowly are beginning to understand as the actors take the word and become a part of the drama of the day that they live. They read, they feed, they hear, they act upon that word in so much that it is the expression of the Godhead Himself living out in the lives of the saints of God. I'm not just talking about preachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, but I'm talking about every member of the body, whether you are man, woman, boy, or girl. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost and divine life has been imparted unto you, the angels of God are watching mightily and intently as the expression of God deals with you through the sovereignty of His grace, the exploits of His mercy through the divine attributes of God as they behold, and then they must stand there as it were in awe, and they gasp as they see what God is doing in our lives.
They must have been spellbound as they watched him when he spoke the world, the universe, into existence. And as they saw the stars and they saw the great things that he made, it must have been absolutely breathtaking. As he throwed them off across his hand, as it were, and gave them every one a name. As he placed them in their orbit, and to this very day, they are aligned in place where God had placed them in the very beginning. It must have been awesome as they watched him, as the stardust come into view, and the rays of light, all the pink and the reds and the hues of light, begin to come into existence simply by his spoken word. But they saw whenever he, oh my, began to bring something upon the earth, which was man, it was something more dear to his heart than all the stars he had made, all the expanse of the universe by which he had spoken into existence and still is expanding to this very day. But there was something about the heart of the great Creator that never linked and united with the stars themselves. Something about his own divine being, his expression of love, never reached the great parameter by which he would one day be known, by making the stars and the horizontal rainbow and the sun and the moon and all the worlds that science are still finding out to this day. But yet, whenever he began to bring something into view which declared his own divine image, they must have saw something come upon the expression of his being. Was it a smile upon his face? Was it a touch of love? Was it something from the expression of Christ the Logos, which was the most human-like expression that we could see about God in the theophanic form? Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. That they know that something was going to be different about this form of creation than anything they had seen thus far. How long he did it, we don't know exactly. We have the record of the geological ages, and we're able to see, as Paul used the compound meaning here, from ages to ages, and we know written in the strata of the earth is many different periods that God made upon the earth. We don't know how old she is. The prophet said maybe millions or billions of years that she's that old. But yet we know written in her, in the strata of the earth, is the geological record of her fall, of her creation, of her rebirth, of her going into the cycle of death and the resurrection of life coming back on her again. We see the dinosaurs that have been buried in the strata, the ferns that have been buried 200 feet deep up beneath the frost up in the North Pole. And we can see all of these things that in the earth she holds the record of her violent past, but yet in her also she holds a record of a divine beauty given to her unlike any of the rest of the planets as far as we know, because she found favor somehow in the eyes of God. And remember, because she found that favor, he gave her life. God could have sowed his seed word upon Pluto or Mars or Uranus or Arcturus or many of the millions and trillions of stars that are in the sky. But what good would it have done to sow spoken word life upon there if there was no atmosphere to correspond for the seed to grow? It's the same thing with a human heart. God sows that seed. God gives every mortal, of course, a chance. But God, for the most part, will share the mystery secrets of his word only to the good ground. All will be able to hear. All will be able to know that there is a Redeemer, and they can make their choice. But only the good ground, which was pre-prepared before the foundation of the world, will be able to be pulled up to the very heart of God and listen to Elohim himself as he begins to reverberate that words from his own heart into their very soul. Others will ridicule. Others will laugh and make fun of it, scratch their head and say, I don't understand. But yet to the elect of God, it is music like no other. To the elect of God, the words from the Father's heart, oh my, it's more precious, that David said, than my necessary food. It is greater than the water that we need to drink. It It is greater than the ultraviolet rays that we need from the sun in order to make us live. Take Jesus out of our hearts, we could not survive. Take Jesus out of our lives, we would no longer want to live on this earth. I know I'm weird. I know I'm strange. I know some of you may think I'm a religious fanatic because you think he's so caught up, he studied so much, he can't live without God. Exactly right. I can't live without God. I wouldn't want to get up in the morning without him. I don't want to go to bed tonight without him. I didn't want to come to this pulpit without him. Are you going to preach with me tonight? I don't want to sing without him. I don't want to pray without him. I don't want to live on this earth another day without him. I can't breathe without him. I can't walk without him. I can't think right without him. I cannot love right without him. I cannot be able to meditate right without him. Oh, hallelujah! I've got to have him. I mean every day of my life. I don't just need him on Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday, but I need him on Monday. I need him on Tuesday. I need him on Thursday. I need him on Friday. I need him in the wee hours of the morning. I need him whenever I get up. I need him when I go to bed. All I know to say is I need him, and I need him bad. Hallelujah. To me, he is my everything. Notice this in Ephesians 1:22. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Again, ecclesia. Which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Notice now verse 23. The church, which is his body. The fullness of him. Do you understand? The real church of the living God is the fullness of Christ. That's what Paul said. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at this word. It's a strange word that Paul used for the word fullness. It's pleroma. That which is or has been filled. A ship insomuch as it is filled, manned with sailors, rowers, and soldiers in the New Testament. Now look at that. What it's filled with. It's filled with sailors, rowers, and soldiers. Here's your walk with God. You're going to need every aspect of that in your life. Without the sailor, you'll never be able to man the waves. Without those that can be able, once you get on land, you've got to have guys that's got the good land, the land legs, so they know how to fight on land. But you also need guys to know how to row. Oh, praise God. I want to have my sailors on board. I want my rowers on board. I want my soldiers on board. Come on, saints. I want music on board. I want shouting on board. I want worship on board. I want the word on board. I want everything he's got. I want my ship laden down with good things. Praise be to God. Now, I hope you understand this, that this actually completes Christ manifested in the church. Paul said, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it is the completion of the dispensation of the fullness of times. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from, notice now, from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. The angels didn't know about it. Listen to me. The devil didn't know about it. It was hid in God. Now notice verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now listen. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. God is using the church. The drama of the church is on a display in a form of theater, and the church is acting out the divine program of God. principalities and powers are learning for the first time what God wanted to do. They did not know it in eternity. Angels are on the present. They're not on the mission. They don't know all things. They cannot be everywhere at one time. And they are actually learning. Oh my. They are learning as the church progresses in Revelation. We are the book by which God takes the script and the manual and teaches angelic beings the manifold wisdom of the grace of God. I hope y'all come to have church tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. So the angels are not omniscient, which means knowing all things. They don't know all things, and they certainly do not understand all that God is doing. So the wisdom of God then was displayed in the work of redemption. It was a secret wisdom which was hid in the very heart of God. So there was wisdom just in making the plan. There was wisdom in the Redeemer. There's wisdom in the redeemed. There's wisdom in the way he's going to save them. There's wisdom in the way he's going to sanctify them. There's wisdom in the way that he's going to annihilate their past and make them a brand new creature in him. There is wisdom in the way he hid the seed from his own being and buried it inside of them. Hallelujah to God. There is wisdom in choosing a fivefold ministry to bring the word. There is wisdom in the way that God saved the church. There's wisdom in the way he gave you the Holy Ghost. There's wisdom in God calling the rapture. But all the above examples I use is wisdom displayed unlike anything in the universe. The universe don't have the Holy Ghost. The universe is not sanctified. The universe don't have the token life. So the variegated wisdom of God is displayed in a panoramic as it was. You know, if God say you take a landscape and you look across and you see trees and maybe some flat places and some rolling hills, and you go a little higher in elevation, you'll see little taller mountains and they keep going up. So there you see scrub trees, you see short bushes, you see grass, you see flowers, you see all kinds of vines. And there he is, all the great creator put all this image in one particular view. So there you're viewing and you're looking and you see made hundreds and hundreds of species of trees. And you're saying, only God knows how many types of grass. Only God knows how many vines that you're looking at. All in one view. And your eyes are looking at it from here to here. And you're just looking, so oh my, it's all green, it's brown, it's red, it's this, that, the other. But all in that is all examples of the variegated displays of the life of God. So there's a pumpkin, there may be a tomato, there may be a grape, there may be an orange, there may be all kinds of things. Every one of them come from him, but each one with their own traits, their own characteristics, and their own attributes. Woo! Hallelujah to God. God did not make known now unto the angels the entire revelation at the very beginning. Now God knew, of course, that angels would fall, so he keeps the depth of this secret within himself. Later to be revealed, the types and the shadows would allow a little of course in the Old Testament, but later in the New Testament when the very heart of God would be made manifest on the earth. So then the church is the display or the theater by which God is acting out his manifold wisdom. Oh, praise God. Even the great high powers of heaven. I hope this don't blow you away. But you understand, whenever the seals were coming open in 1963, can you imagine the angels of God and the demons as well? As they gathered around that tabernacle, I've talked to different people that was there at the Branham Tabernacle when the seals was being preached, and they said it was some of the most tense times. The pressure was so great. Things that was going on, people coming, pushing, shoving. But to me, it wasn't just that. It was the pressure from the unseen world. The angels of God knowing this is a great time. It was so great, in so much that God had let this prophet meet seven angels out there in Arizona and send him back, and then God allowing an angel to come each day. The first seal, an angel come with that seal. Second seal, an angel come that day. On down to the seventh, the angels knew this was a great time. And if the angels knew that, there's not a doubt in my mind that demons in hell was not aware something is going on in Jeffersonville. Woo! Oh, praise God. Well, let me just say this, my friends. Something's not just going on in Jeffersonville, but it's going on in Johnson City. It's going on in Louisiana. It's going on in Africa. It's going on around the world. That same God that loosed the seals wants to loose the seal around your life till you can be identified in this same word. Oh, praise be to God. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire, long, burn with zeal to look into. How many's got the Holy Ghost tonight? Can you imagine then with your experience, angels of God which have never sinned, never lied, never made one mistake by the West, and yet they desire to understand, how does it feel to have the Holy Ghost? You see, the dispensation of God's grace to man is one of the books that God uses to teach angels about his love secrets. So God's got the book of your life, your memoir, and how God has dealt with you and your journey and your scars and all the things that you came through. And Satan thinking he'll never amount to nothing. She'll never amount to anything. I had her abused when she was a child. I've done this and that and the other. She'll never go anywhere. She'll be just like that. And by nature you probably would have. But God had another plan. Oh, praise the Lord. Then you pull the volume of this man's life and you see him raised up in a drunkard's home, raised up from one foster family to another, ever looking and searching and hunting for love, trying to find somebody with a loving, and Satan feeling like he could go ahead and right back to the end of it. He'll follow the same pattern as his daddy and his grandpa and everybody else. But God broke the cycle with our lives. Oh, you imagine the angels of God as they look at it. Not only the angels of God, but the demons out of hell that look at our human makeup and say, watch him. He'll wind up being like every other Reagan. He'll wind up being like every other male Willis. He'll do this and that and the other. But one day something happens on the inside of you and it breaks that pattern. Naturally, you're heading that way. But divinely, by a supernatural birth, something begins to move on the inside of you and it breaks the record. It breaks the pattern. It starts breaking it. And it does that for decades after decade after decade. And you live a godly life, a holy life, a joyous life, a happy life. Well, glory to God. I wish somebody had church with me tonight. What is it? The power of God breaks that cycle in your life, and God writes the mystery of your life and says, look at this, angels. One grand purpose and scheme in mind when God made the universe. The church. He made millions of species on the earth. Millions of species of animals. Botany life. For what purpose? The church. You think God give the peacock his beautiful colors for himself to soar in and primp? If some of us hair was as color pretty as that is, we'd never go nowhere. We'd always time be in the mirror looking at ourselves. You think the butterfly ever actually sees his colors? You think many of the animals, you think the rainbow trout ever looks back on himself and says, I want you to look at me. Look at them rainbow colors. Ain't that something? Ain't I pretty? Why did God hide the mystery out of all of this, knowing it was going to bring a man on the earth? Many of these things are here for your and his glory and your enjoyment on the earth. Imagine as he began to unfold, God reveals himself in colors. God reveals himself in spectrum of lights. We know that there's different lights. You actually born with four light rays, you know, inside of you. You know that? Oh, you didn't know. Okay, the prophet said, you're born with four light rays on the inside of you. Every time they take an x-ray, it reduces that portion of light. But there's another light ray which must be reborn by the breath of God. Once that light ray strikes the seed of God down inside of your soul, even when the others, you don't use MRI and you don't use an x-ray for that one. That one is the spoken word of God, because God's word is light made manifest. And when the bride of Christ can see who she is manifested in the word, the angels of God are sending their spellbound and say, how did they do it? They were born liars. They were born all of this. How did they do it? Look at the power of God to him. Look at the grace of God to her. Look at the mercy of God to him. Look at the healing power of God to them. Look at the resurrection power of God. And they're standing and saying, oh my, thank you, Jesus. Notice again, he says in Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, heavenly places, might be known, not by the stars, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, the word manifold means much variegated. Y'all know what a variegated plant is? Okay, so it's more than one color. Some of you don't. Well, you take the monkey grass, the little roofie, monkey grass. You know what that is? Green monkey. All right, then you go to Lowe's or you go to Home Depot or you go to Evergreen and they'll have the Laropia there. They'll have the big blue and they have several different ones. Them there are going to be the darker ones. But there'll also be some near them, unless they're already sold out, and they will have two to three colors. They're going to be a lighter green rather, with a white. What do they call? Variegated. You will also find a variegated beach and variegated on and on and on and on. So it's two colors merged together, and every leaf will have its own variety because of the way that it's released inside the tree itself. Oh, glory. So God took the bride as a tree, the bride tree, and he said, out of every leaf, out of every manifestation, I will display the grace of God in a little different way. Now, you know, you look at myself, Brother Tim Pruitt, some of us preachers that have lived our lives and give our heart to the Lord whenever we was young boys. Brother Tim been preaching my since he was 15, 16 years old, something like that, living for God most of his life. But yet most of you may not have that testimony. But can Brother Tim say personally that he knows by experience that God can deliver a man of smoking? No, he cannot. Can I say that? No. Can I say that I know by experience that God can deliver a man from alcohol and take the thirst away? No. I don't know it myself. I know it from you and others I prayed for around the world and see God do it. So God chose out of my life to bring forth one display of the very great mercy of God, but he chose, say, your life and your life and your life in order to bring out another attribute. You may have a little more green than what I got. I may have a little bit more white than you got. But all of us come together to make the panoramic view of the heavenly city as it merges down upon this earthly tabernacle. And the Spirit of God bringing us together. Why? Because it is the very blessing of the Creator by which he wants to bring into view. Oh, we look at the stars. My, I show you those pictures up here. And you all ooh and all when we go through the stratosphere. Fear, that ain't nothing compared to the grace of God sitting right here in this church. The power of God to display that, it's wonderful, but it ain't nothing like the power of God to get a hold of a young man, or get a hold of a young woman, or get a hold of a drunk or a liar or whatever more, and take that evil desire out of that nature and make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Set them on the straight and narrow way. There ain't a universe, there ain't a star is as great a miracle as that. Oh, you see, there's traits in the display of his work toward man that was never brought into view in the creation of the universe. There's wisdom in the display of the work of incarnation. There's wisdom displayed in the work of the act of substitution. Wisdom displayed in the great act of God, of blood of an innocent one speaking for the guilt of others. There's also work of great wisdom of God displayed, and how that God can take a man or a woman that has a fallen sinful nature that dominates them all of their life, something they're born with, that old husband that rules over them, and all of a sudden it's beyond explanation. All of a sudden something happens, whether they're sitting in the pew or they're coming up to the altar, and all of a sudden the fire of God from the altar of God comes right down and annihilates that nature, and the token life slips right down inside that soul, and their seal set right there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Their seal set right there in their pew, and they know they are different. Oh, my. And you know, I'll tell you one thing, if they're really different, you'll know it too, because they'll act different, they'll talk different, they'll walk different. The angels must just marvel each time somebody gets the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And they're sitting there watching him on the throne. They're watching him on the throne. And yet they're watching you on the earth, you or me or whoever it is. And somehow we get his life. And yet his life is there. And he's there. And yet he's here. Believe whatever you want to believe. To me, it's the manifold wisdom of our God. As I mentioned to you just before I began preaching tonight. And each person, how that God speaks to them and takes the word. And so custom fits that. As if though you were the only one in the building. And he has the ability of doing that not only hundreds of times, but thousands of times as it goes around the world. Now think, our preaching isn't just going to English-speaking people. So it will go to people in Africa. Okay, so the service that you hear tonight, it will be sent to some of the brothers in Africa. They will make the DVDs, and some of them saints there which don't have internet, they don't have the ability to be able to stream. They will hear this service tonight about 3 months down the road. But what's amazing is, I'll get emails back from some of them saints, and they'll say, I was going through that just this week, and Brother Ulrich gave me that DVD, and I heard this and this, and you saying, what an on-time God. 3 months later than what you heard it, but yet it was exactly on time for them. And you imagine the angels of God saying, how did he do that? Woo! Praise God. Here it is, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, the purpose of God never began when time began. It just started expressing itself further in the element of time. But it was before time, before light, before matter. Oh, glory. Now, if we are that, and I believe we are, don't you? Then, as we've been looking at, there are certain titles and characteristics and identification that God gives to his people. Let's look at that here tonight by the help of the Lord, the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day or dispensation? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now here Paul in verse 6, when he writes about this, and he tells us that the people in these verses prior to this, if you'd like to read it, they never were able to enter into that rest, so it was unpossessed as far as a possession. They knew it was coming, but they was never able to enter into it even in the soul. Two phases of rest. Of course, the rest of the soul, which takes place first by the new birth, and then the rest, the eternal rest, which our bodies will all be also be manifested as well. Now, whenever Joshua is an antitype of this, when Moses brings the people right up to the very breach of the land where they're going to cross over, but he was never able to be able to step across the breach himself and bring the people to an inheritance. So Moses never got to cross over into the breach, but he went by vision as he stands up on top of the mountain, and God says, I'll show it to you. So there he stands, and by vision, God allows him to view into the land and go up and down one side and the other. But Joshua was able to stand in the breach. And when he stood in the breach with the word going before them, laying on the minister's heart, then Joshua, the type of the Holy Ghost, amen, was going to lead the people into their inheritance. So the people now already had a rest in their soul to the promise of God. They said, I believe it's true. I believe it's true, which is what we must do. But they still did not have the rest as of yet. But under the administration of Joshua, they're going to take the land and get their rest. But they got to fight in order to get it. Then they're going to fight after they get it in order to keep it. Now, watch this. So he says, there remains a rest for the people of God. So 450 years after this rest, he's speaking of this rest, it's still to be entered into. So even after it was spoken, they never had a right. God having provided some better thing for us. Now, then when the coming of the token, the very life of God himself, it smites away the unbelief and annihilates the nature that we were all born with. Praise God. We were all born in sin. Elect and non-elect, you're all born sinners. Still got to be saved. You wasn't born saved. You wasn't born with the Holy Ghost. You wasn't born sanctified. But you was born with representation. Amen. Now, notice then, Paul is urging the Hebrew church to be able to stand steadfast on the promise of God, knowing that there's coming a rest to what he called the people of God. But now, it's not to absolutely everybody, only the people of God. So the elect of God are not only the church of God, but they are the people of God. Now, he has a word play on words here. Actually, when he chooses the word rest, it actually means the same thing as cease. So they cease from their labors as God ceased from his. And we know, of course, that God created the earth, heavens and the earth, and then the scripture says that God rested, which means God entered into a time by which he no longer created. So it parallels man, that once man enters into the token life, it is no longer that man trying to live a godly life, trying to be a Christian, trying to be saved. Oh, sure, you'll fight the devil, but there's a great difference in fighting and trying to be a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. Either you've got the Holy Ghost or you don't. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, it anoints you to live a Holy Ghost-filled life. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to be able to live a Holy Ghost-filled life. So once you enter into that rest, guess what? You cease from your labors. The labor of what? Of trying to be a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. You're no longer trying to be one. You are one. Why? So you cease from your labors of trying to live this. No, you just give over to Christ and he lives his own life out of you. So there is coming what Paul called a day of rest. Notice again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. And notice this, he said, by faith Moses, who when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, type it in your Bible under any search program you desire to use. I've mentioned to you two or three times in the last month or so, you'll not find God being identified as the God of the Amorites, the God of the Hittites, the God of the Jebusites. He's the God of the Israelites. And today he's the God of the Wordites. Praise the Lord. He's the God of the Wordites. Now, let me tell you something, friend. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there's a lot of folks around this message that are not Wordites. They're Branhamites. Their God is Brother Branham. They love to talk about Brother Branham. They talk about Brother Branham more than they do Jesus. Don't get quiet on me now. Oh yes, they get chills and bumps and all kinds of things going all over them. They get so excited and they're still looking for new scriptures for Brother Branham to have fulfilled or going to fulfill in the future. But yet, and they like Christ. You understand what they are, shameless ministers today? That many of the message folks that are around this message ain't nothing but Laodiceans, and they got Christ on the outside of the door. Amen. They play tapes. They say they're in the message. But Jesus is on the outside of their door. And Jesus is knocking, trying to get in their church, trying to get in their home, trying to get in their lives. What a shame. And we look at the Baptist church and the Pentecostal church, and we say, them bunch of Laodiceans. I wonder how many Laodicean message folks we got. With Jesus on the outside of their life, Jesus on the outside of their church. I don't know about you. I don't want Jesus on the outside. Woo. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's an honor to be identified with the people of God. Praise God. I've met them around this world. I'm telling you what, I have met them on the continents that I've been on. And though they have their own customs and their own cultures, but every one of them that's got the Holy Ghost, it's the exact same spirit you've got here. They may worship a little different, and their songs will be a little different, and maybe their church order a little bit different in the way they view certain things. But brother, sister, it is absolutely amazing and phenomenal that when you go to India or the different parts of Africa that's made up of all different tribes of tribal orders, and you go into India and you go to the different places of the world, and you find a brother or sister that is truly born again of the Spirit of God, there is a uniting between you and them that is beyond color. It is beyond race. It's beyond national society or national citizenship. Don't you understand what it is? We've entered into that rest. We choose to suffer affliction with who? The people of God. If you want to laugh at me, laugh at me. But let me take my side with the people of God. I choose to be identified with the people of God instead of enjoying the pleasures of this world. Oh, praise God. Now remember, boy, you read that and you shout and holler. But I want you to think of this setting of this verse. Moses, the next Pharaoh. Amen. Moses with wealth, power, women, popularity, money. Anything a man would want, you'd think, laying right at his hand. All he had to do was be patient. Oh, Pharaoh's going to die. He's found favor in his eyes. So he looks at that, and he looks over here at what? People driving Cadillacs, BMWs, living in fine homes. He looks at slaves. And he looks over here, Brother Keith, and said, a palace, gold, women, ivory, great name, prestige. And he looks over here, backs that are beaten with whips, women that are ravished. Barely making it do. You know, the prophet said they'd throw him old moldy bread that's barely hanging on. And he stands there between the two. And people in this day stand and look at the gates of the glory of God. And they look at the streets of gold. And they look at sin and they choose sin. There's something wrong with them. They're not even mentally right. Look at the choice of Moses to be Pharaoh. Or he chose to go with these people? I love the way Cecil B. DeMille depicted him when he put him down there in the mud pits. You've seen it, for those of you who've seen that. Hey, you down there. You stinky one. He chose that. He wasn't thrown down there, Lord have mercy. Can't you see why when the bride of Jesus Christ walks down streets of gold and the angels of God will bow their heads knowing you chose to be reproached. You chose to come to one of the worst hated churches in this area. You absolutely chose. Oh, you could go to some of these compromising charismatic churches and be a secret believer of the word. Stay home and play tapes and, you know, not dress like them. But, you know, do I have to go to Happy Valley? Lord, please. Our pastor's so radical. Our church is so radical. My, what's my mama going to say? What's my grandma going to say? I'm more concerned about what my daddy's going to say. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a reproach, my friend, of being identified with Christ. And Moses stands there and he says,
well, this ain't hard. Which would you choose? Many of you done made your choice. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah.
He looks at it and says, I choose the whip, the mud, the stench. You imagine how clean he was used to having it in Egypt?
He probably didn't even have to wipe his mouth when he got done eating. He sat there and fanned him with great big fans. Grapes, your royal highness. Thank you. Would you feed it to me? Wine, your royal highness. Yes, you're 2 minutes late. And then he looks down there and people say, what is it about him? Why do I feel so drawn? I shouldn't. I mean, we're not even the same. Oh, yes, you are, Moses. You just don't know it yet, but actually you are of the same cloth. Oh my, some of you remember how it was whenever that big hook landed down inside of your jaw. Oh God. Oh no. Somebody help me get it out. Oh God, what's mama gonna say? Oh no. And all of a sudden a big wind of the Holy Ghost coming, but you swallowed it. Oh, God, it's too deep now to get out. Spit it out, I can't. I swallowed it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. We want to be like it was when John stood there and he said, give me the little book. And he come up and he took that book and he ate it. That's what we want to do with the word. I don't want to just keep it in my mouth. I want to swallow so I can't get it out. Maybe he'd sneak around Brother Terry and look at him and say, poor old things. I feel so sorry for him. But that ain't me. Get back in his BMW and drive up to church. And get out among all the upper crust. You know, how you doing there, buddy? How's your business doing? Doing good. I got the blessing of God. Man, alive. Yeah, I just, boy, God's been blessing me. Whew. God's been blessing me. How you been doing? Oh, doing good. Yeah, doing good. Man, I heard we're having a hot dog roast after church. Ain't that wonderful? Oh, it's wonderful what the church here is trying to do, reach out to people. You talk of feeding their belly, reaching out to them. But in your mind, you're thinking, why do I keep going back to them people? This is scaring me. And then you visit again on Saturday night. Sit in the fellowship hall where nobody can see you. Or on the last pew so you wouldn't be too close to me. Whenever I would stop to pray, then you could get up and get out and nobody knew you was there. You're already hooked. They were poor. They were despised. They were hated. But they were chosen. They were called. They were blessed. I'm going to choose too, Brother Randy. I choose to take sides with the people of God. I choose to take sides with the prophet of God. I
choose to take sides with Jesus Christ, the Word. I got enough sense to know I ain't an idiot. I got enough sense to know I got a gift in my life. I got enough sense to know if I listen to men, listen to people, and let people be able to groom me a little bit, be able to help me teach this and cut this off and polish that. I got enough sense to know we could have a church here 10 times what we got. And where would I be leading you to? Bunch of hell-bound, tribulation-bound, compromising Christians. I choose my side with the people of God. Come on, Happy Valley! A nation of slaves! A nation of slaves! Why, they tell me them people up there can't go here, they can't go there, they can't do this, they can't. Huh? We're a nation of slaves. I'm a prisoner of love. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What would make him choose, Brother Terry? Now, he never saw the promised land first. He never saw the seals coming open on the mountain. He never saw none of that first. God showed him this compared to the best of Egypt. One breath away from being Pharaoh. All it takes is for Seti to die. And he stands here in the breach. My friends, that was nothing compared to the choice of our husband. Our husband, the Logos, stood there in eternity, knowing that there must be one that would come and take the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne and bring redemption. To stay there would be the praise of angels. To stay there, there'd be no suffering, no dying. To come here would be cursing. He'd be persecuted from the day he was born to the day he died. He would be laughed at, ridiculed, called the lowest names that ever be called on the earth. He would be forsaken by men, by angels, and by God. But you know what he said? I choose the people of God. Well, let me just be plain and blunt. That anybody that don't feel that way about him ain't fit for heaven. They're not even fit to walk down streets of gold. Brother Terry, what went through his mind? Moses in the parallel, the comforts of the court, the praise of the ambassadors. Moses was a conqueror, we know, a general, a mighty man, a builder. All these things that he could do. All the people that would bow before him, looking from that to this, from that to this. Look at our Lord Jesus. Is it a great thing to us then that we'll be thrown in the same balance? He'll put things before you that'll be so hard for you to decide. But the real elect will say, I'll take my choice with the people of God. Amen. Forget my prospects of wealth. Forget my prospects of fame, fortune. Well, if I would just go over here, I could be playing the piano. Over here, I could be playing the organ. Over here, I could be doing this and that and the other. Boy, my gift, what are you, a prostitute? You want to prostitute your gift? Well, I could be playing the organ over here. You think Brother Harry, Brother Larry, these other brothers couldn't be going to other churches and playing their gift somewhere else, and they'd probably give them this and that and the other and all kinds of prestige. Prestige don't do much good in hell. You can take all the prestige you want, hell, it won't matter. But what do each one of these brothers, what do you individuals have to do? You say, I make my choice with the people of God. Praise God. Can I go just give me a few minutes? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a treasure, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'll tell you one thing, that Peter turned out to be quite a writer for a man who couldn't even sign his name. Didn't he? Listen to this in verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now. Now listen carefully so you don't misunderstand me. He didn't say they were not the people of God originally. He says you were not a people, which means a gathering together of a group in a similar place, ecclesia. You see, you are the people of God by election, according to what the angel said. He shall save His people from their sins. But you were not a people in that you were not gathered together in one place under the revealed word. Woo! Praise God. Don't you understand why it's so important for us to come together? We are the people of God by new birth. We are the people of God by predestination. But we are a people when we gather together in one place, under one auspices, under one identity, than we were not that before. Some of you sat on the bar stool, some of you in the Baptist church, and we were not the people of Happy Valley, but we are now. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise be to God. Notice this word people. Laos. Now you know the country by the name of Laos is where the word comes from. Laos, which is people or group, a tribe, or a nation. Uh-oh. All those who are of the same stock and language. Praise God. We were not a people, but now we are. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Do you understand if God sent me to be your pastor? When eternity rolls on, we will still be identified together. Other brothers here in the church that are called to come and minister to you and help you. But let me tell you something. If God puts you in my heart and me in yours, neither time nor death nor automobile accidents or nothing will ever separate us. We will be together for eternity. And we will be identified. That's why it's so important that people find the church where they belong and the pastor where they belong. This is the shortest time we'll be together, brother, sister. We're going to be together. Think of it. Brother Branham has been gone for all of these years. But that day of the rapture when we all gather together, the prophet of God will present all of us. So here will be the leader of the age presenting to Jesus Christ, the Gentile bride of His age. Then up will come all these other leaders, pastors and evangelists and so on. Brother Branham will present us as an entirety. Each pastor coming up with his church. Lord Jesus, here's the little flock that you gave me, Lord. Oh, you say, I'll never be identified with you again, Brother Donnie. Oh, no, you won't. We're going to be identified together for eternity, my friends. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. They were called Paul's people. Will Paul be gathered with his people? Yes, Paul's people will be gathered with him. Well, if his people make it, mine too. I preach what he preached. They were being called Paul's people. Brother Brown tells us every leader will stand that day with their people. That's right. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you love Him with all your heart? Notice Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Houston, we've got a problem. But let's not just stop at verse 22. It's quite bleak. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Isn't that amazing? Vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. It wasn't the mercy that made the vessel of mercy a vessel of mercy. It wasn't the denial of mercy on the vessel of wrath that made it a vessel of wrath. They were identified in their position before mercy is mentioned. Look, friend, you could hang grace, you could hang mercy before some people 10 million years. If they lived that long, at the end of that 10 million years, they'd still drink, they'd still run around, they'd still lie, because they do not want to go to heaven. They don't want to serve God. And God is not going to make them. They've got to be willing to do so. Notice, a vessel of wrath, a vessel of wrath, and the Bible says it was fitted for destruction. You mean actually fitted in itself? Yes, sir. In itself was fitted? Now, y'all don't believe that, do you? Oh, now. So you believe, like Paul said here, that the potter actually takes the clay and molds it and makes this vessel and fits it to destruction. And titles it a vessel of destruction. And then God reaches over here in the good dirt pile. And he takes and molds and shapes and saying, I'm going to call you a vessel of mercy. Oh, but you see, the warped understanding that many folks have in this day with Christendom and many of the message folks as well is that the clay itself tells the potter. Now, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to make me thus and so, and you're going to make... I'm not sure what Walt Disney book you got that out of, but you need to get rid of your book and read your Bible. That's not in the Bible. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. So the riches of God's glory can only rightly be expressed on vessels of mercy. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. Let's stand together. We'll finish verse 24 and 25. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, which is Hosea of the Old Testament, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Notice he didn't say she wasn't his beloved. She just wasn't beloved. I will call them my people, which were not a people. They didn't belong to me as far as first birth, no. But they were mine already. I knew them before the world ever began. Friends, do you honestly think God would leave all of this, leave every bit of the fulfillment of all the ages, and let it come right to the last age and lay it in the free moral agency of man, the feebleness and the distrust and the slothfulness and the laziness of human beings, and God would leave the entire program into our feeble hands, and the devil may possibly win over us. You may run your office like that, but God don't run his that way. I'll tell you one thing, I find it more real all the time what Brother Branham said about election. He said, if I didn't believe in election, I'd be a mighty discouraged man. But since we do, that ought to drive away discouragement. So let's close with this. The variegated wisdom of God. He displays himself in the act of condescension and wanting to become a part of his creation. So before the world began, in his mind, there were vessels of mercy. But there almost always has to be a contrast to that. So there's also vessels of wrath. Many of them only in the scripture. They only place their identity in the Bible by opposing the people of God. The only time their name is even mentioned. It's not because they themselves have much value at all. But they come against this one. This king come against that one. And this one come against this one. This come against that one. That great king, you know, in the scripture there that talks about his bedstead being, what was it, 9.5, 10 feet long, something like that. The only reason how big that old rascal was is even mentioned because he come against the people of God. And they slap wore him out. If it hadn't been for his opposition, he'd never even found a place in the scripture at all. The old whore found her place in the scripture because she opposed the bride of Christ. The elect were in his mind before the ceaseless ages. They always were. And the thoughts of God are real. They are substance. As we found out this weekend, so are yours. His thoughts were substance. Each would come in their own designated, decreed age. A Moses, a Paul, a Jeremiah. A spoken word from God. Praise God. Praise God. Down from his glory. Ever living story, my God and Savior came. Can we sing it a little before we go? walked up here with two needs in her body. She walked up there and she got up to the altar. The Lord removed one of them before we ever prayed. I told her, that'll give you faith to believe He'll take care of the other one. He's a mighty God. I choose Jesus. I take sides with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it together.
Yeah.
You see, I told him that about 2.5 hours ago. Because this evening I was down at Erica's house. A bunch of yellow jackets come out and stung me about 6 times. My arms and all around, I started swelling up. Come to church, hurting all over, sick, nauseated. You didn't know that, did you? Did I preach like it? Really? Huh. Wonder why that is. Because he helped me. Now, I believe he's mindful of us. Is the pain all gone, Brother Darian? No, it's not all gone, but he's still my healer. I wonder what kind of people would be. Oh, many of you have come to church when you're sick and whenever you don't feel good. Friends, that's really when God can use us. He said, wow, Brother Don, he's really anointed tonight. Was it any wonder? Brother Ram talked about them Indians coming. They'd bring their boats and their canoes and bring people. And he said such healing broke out among them. And he said, because their sacrifice was so great. Oh, friends, he wants us to recognize our need. I need you, Lord. Not just in a casual something. Would you care to come by if you don't mind tonight? No, God, we need you so much. We need you so much, God. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Ain't God good? Let's sing it together again. We'll let you go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, we'll be having the Fall Fest Friday night. And then we'll be having a Brad Fest on Saturday night and Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Just come expecting the Lord to speak to us again. We always look forward to the saints that come from different places, come have fellowship with us and all that sort of thing. But, you know, we realize the great gathering together will be after a while when it's all over. And there's something about food and us. We like to sit down and eat. Jesus knows that, so we're going to have a marriage supper. It won't be a marriage snack. Isn't it amazing how mindful he is of us? So human that he wanted to prove to his disciples after he had raised from the dead. He wanted to prove it was truly him. And he said, you got anything to eat? And in a glorified body, he ate some broiled fish and honeycomb. Praise God. Oh, glory. Won't it be wonderful, saints, when we gather there that day. Turn and shake hands with somebody and tell them, God bless you. So good to be in church with you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it together. We need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Now, you know, it is over at the Fall Fest. I may get to see you and I may not. Most of the time I leave hungry. For the last several years, I've left and went to McDonald's or Burger King to get me something to eat. Because a lot of times, I don't get nothing to eat for people wanting to talk. So, if I don't get to talk to you, it ain't because I'm mad at you. Or it ain't because I don't want to. Just because there's so many folks around that I can't get to. I try to break loose and make my rounds as much as I can and get to everybody. But keep this in mind. If I don't get to see you at the Fall Fest, I will meet you at the Wedding Fest in the sky. And then we'll have plenty of time. Brother Jim Whitson won't be there. Okay, you got 30 minutes. If you go past, I'm going to knock on the door. Brother Jim won't be assigned to door service there. And he'll be the first one to rejoice over that. So, amen. God bless you. Let's sing it together and we'll prepare to go. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. God bless you, saints. I love you. Amen.
Bow my knee and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord.